This week's parasha is Parashas Bishalach. And of course, the centerpiece, the highlight of the parasha is the Shiras Hayam. And we know that a Jew has to live with a parasha. Whenever we lay in a parasha, it's not just a random occurrence and it just happens to fall out on the calendar at a given time. We know that the parashas were set up in a certain way that a Yid, when he studies the parashiyos, is supposed to always take a lesson from them. That's why every week we give a shmuz and we try to draw valuable lessons from the parasha to our lives. That's why Rabbanim throughout the world have always given drushas from the pulpit, and generally they tie a lesson from the parasha into current events or into the situation that that community is facing at that given time. That's not just a vehicle by which to share a message, but there's truth to that. Because we live in a world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world by looking in the Torah, and everything that we need in our life and our personal universe is going to be shown to us through the parsha of that particular week. The parsha of the Shira, the Shiras Hayam, there's a lot going on in the Shiras Hayam. It's a major Shira. It's something that is one of the great songs that the world has ever heard. It was all given, of course, Baruch HaKadosh by Moshe Rabbeinu from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just want to share with you something that I saw this morning. I remembered it was kicking around in the back of my head from Yisayid V'Sheresh HaVeda, one of the great, a Musar work, a Machshava work. Yisayid V'Sheresh HaVeda lived about the same time as the Vilna Gaon, and he basically has a sefer that he gives kavanas. He gives deep, mystical kavanas to a lot of the things that we do, and particularly during davening. And I found that he writes about the Shiras Hayam not in the spot that you would expect it when he's describing the tefillas of the day and of Shabbosos Yom Tovim, but rather when he speaks about Shvi Shel Pesach. It's in a chapter called Chayves HaMayadim. And he speaks about the way he always is very into tapping into the time of where we're holding. So for example, on Shvi'i Shel Pesach, you shouldn't just commemorate the Shvi'i, you should live Shvi'i Shel Pesach. And he says that the morning of Shvi'i Shel Pesach, when you wake up in the morning, that Yontif morning, the seventh day of Pesach, which is of course when Kriyas Yamsuf took place, Achar Tfilase B'Mikveh Tara, after you go to be Tevel in a Mikveh Tara, this is what he writes, Yispalel Tfilah Shachris B'Kavona Atzuma. You should daven shachris with tremendous kavana, uvi yichud, and especially shiras hayam. The shiras hayam is especially something that you should be mechaving to, because after all, this is the day that we were zeicha to say shiras hayam. So there's a specially significant meaning to shiras. I remember one year I came a little late to shul or something. Maybe I wasn't feeling so well. And, you know, sometimes when you're trying to, catch up to where the tzibur is holding, you sort of cut out different parts of Pesukei DeZimra. And I remember that one of the parts that I cut out in my haste to get up to the tzibur on Shvi'i Shel Pesach was Shiras Hayam. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm cutting out. This is what, if there's one day that I should be focused on the Shiras Hayam, it should be the day that we actually were zeicha to say the Shiras Hayam. And that should always be in our mind, that whenever we're doing something, we have to try to do it, especially in the day that it actually happened. So, Shahaisa be'etzem ayayim ha'zeh, Shiras Hayam happened on this day. Roy Laimer b'hayda atzuma, we should be saying it with great appreciation, with great gratitude, and we should try to get near and close and appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu more and more. And that day of Shvi'i Shel Pesach, The Kriyas HaTorah is not surprisingly what we're going to be laning tomorrow, the Shiras Hayam. And when we lane that, he says in Shul on Yontif morning, Shvi Yishol Pesach, Yate Oznoi Heitev L'Kriyas HaKorah Bifnim B'Chumash. We should be leaning our ear, bending our ear, so that we carefully hear all of the words that are being spoken out by the Baal Kori and the Chumash. We should be paying attention. V'yichavin kol ha-kavones ha-mevarim b'kriyas ha-parsha shnei mikra v'achatagim b'arav Shabbos Kodesh b'simcha atzuma. And we should be understanding them through the prism of all that we understand Shiras Hayam to mean. He says, how do we know what Shiras Hayam means? Because you're supposed to be Mavir Sedra, Shnei Mikra Vechatargum. And when you're Mavir Sedra, Shnei Mikra Vechatargum on Friday morning, which is when many people are Mavir Sedra, and specifically people that are into Kabbalah, very Hasidim, I think, have the minute to be Mavir Sedra, Dafka this morning on Friday mornings. He says, when you're able to really absorb the lessons of Shiras Hayam, Pasuk by Pasuk, Targum by Targum, Rashi by Rashi, so all of those, that beautiful blend of understanding what the Torah is talking about, of Shiras Hayam, should be coming to the fore of your mind as the Baal Kori is reading the Parsha, and you should be filled with joy. And you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without questioning at all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tremendous hanah from this, if we do this on Shvi Yishol Pesach. And I don't think that the Yisrael B'Sher HaShavayit would argue with me if I would say over that this is definitely true tomorrow. As we're standing in yeshiva and we're listening to the, first of all, before that, as we say Pesukah de Zimra, and we're saying Az Yashir Meisha, and this is a Shabbos that we're, it's called Shabbos Shira. It's the Shabbos that the Shira comes to life. When we're saying Az Yashir, we should imagine to ourselves that we're standing at the bank of the Yam Suf, seeing the Egyptians, our enemies, our mortal enemies that had embittered our life for hundreds of years, washing up to the shoreline with all the Bizas Hayam, and Klal Yisrael recognizing the Ad Hashem, V'Aminu B'Hashem V'Moshe Avdai, and being able to finally feel not only free beguf, but also benefesh. All of those feelings should be coming to our hearts, to our souls, to our minds. We should be dancing as we're saying Az Yashir tomorrow morning by Pesukah de Zimra. And then when we hear the special, beautiful Tam Elyon of Pesukah de Zimra, of the Az Yashir in the Kriyas HaTorah also, we should be understanding what we're saying. We should be learning about it beforehand, trying to take his iris from the Shiras Hayam so that we're living it tomorrow as we are laning it together, B'tzibur. So we don't have time, obviously, right now to go through the entire Shiras Hayam, Pasuk by Pasuk, but it's Kedai. If you're Mavir Sedra, you're going to be doing it anyway. If for whatever reason you're not Mavir Sedra, it's Kedai just to take a Chumash with Rashi and try to learn through the Psukim before the Az Yashir, leading up to the Az Yashir, and the Az Yashir, and try to understand it with all the Rashis and the Mefarshim. But I want to just leave you with something today, a Tzeid L'Adarach, that you should be able to take tomorrow with you into understanding something very, very important, one of the most important Yesaidis of life that we could really, I think, derive this morning from the Az Yashir. Towards the end of the Shira in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yod Zayin, the Pasuk says, Mikdash Hashem Kainu Yadecha, one of the great psukim that Klal Yisrael sings to Rabbeinu Shalom, is that the Mikdash of Hashem Kainu Yadecha, you have formed with your hands. And this is not the only time that the Jews, as they were leaving Mitzrayim and singing this essential and inspirational song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they mentioned the Beis HaMikdash. They also said it previously. They said it before in Pasuk Beis, a more famous Pasuk perhaps, Zeh Keli V'Anveu. This is my God. They pointed to the Rabbeinu Shalom. This is my God. They saw him clearly. Ra'asa shifcha alayam asher le'ra Yecheskel ben Buzi. Even a mere maidservant alayam, a cleaning lady alayam, was able to see something that the great Navi Yecheskel, the person who wrote about the Maisa Merkava, was not able to see with all of his great visions. Yecheskel ben Buzi was not zeicha to see what a simple maidservant was able to witness alayam. And they were able to gain levels of Ruach HaKodesh that are unfathomable, even to Yecheskel. And they pointed to Hashem. Whenever the pasuk says Zeh, it's always Meira Be'etzba. It always means they're pointing to something. When they say Zeh Keli Vanveyu, this is my God, and I will, Vanveyu, I will beautify him, I will adorn him. They meant to say, I'm seeing my God and I'm pointing to him. Zeh Keli Vanveyu. And maybe when we say it, when we lane it tomorrow, we'll also be able to feel that way. To be able to have a little bit more, a higher level of Asheras HaShechinah in our world, that we're able to see a semblance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sure, no doubt, there are people in the world that are holding on Madregas above ours, that they are able, by the Shabbos Shira, to lane and say Zakei Levanveyu, to be able to feel on a certain level that they could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachu. And the targum on those words of Zakeli Vanveyu is Dein Elekai Uvenila Mikdasha. That is my God. Vanveyu doesn't mean, as the other Mefarshim say, that I will glorify him, I will beautify him, I will adorn him. Although we obviously know that the whole din of Zakeli Vanveyu, Hidur Mitzvah, comes from this pasuk, but the way the targum learns it is different. The Targum learns that Vanveyu is from a lashon of Nove, Neve Shanan, a place of an abode, a palace, a place of residence, Nove. And Vanveyu means, I will build him an abode. I will build him a makam amikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the time comes, I'm going to build you a mikdash. Whether it means the Mishkan that was going to be built not long after the Az Yashir was sung, or it means the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. But Klal Yisrael has this chorus in the Az Yashir that keeps on repeating this desire to build for HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaMakim HaMikdash. Mikdash Hashem Kainu Yadecha, Zekele V'anveyu. Why does Klal Yisrael have such a need to build for HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Beis HaMikdash? After all, they were zeich at this point to great kirbas Hashem. They were seeing nisim v'niflois that a human eye cannot see. They were about to get the Torah HaKadosha. But yet, with all of that, they were still yearning and prophesizing about a mikdash, an elusive mikdash that will someday be built. Now, obviously, the Beis HaMikdash is a very important feature in Klal Yisrael's entire existence, but why on the Yam? Why were they so migageya for this mikdash? What was their yearning? What was their desire specifically now to build a makam mikdash? In the Haggadah Shal Pesach, after Dayenu, after the famous Dayenu song, we say we sort of recap Dayenu in a very quick way. Without all the Dayenus and Dayenus, we just say a paragraph, and it goes, Alachas kama v'kama toiva kfula u'mechupeles l'makam aleinu. How great is the benevolence, is the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us. And then we go and we start recapping all of the things that we said in Dayenu, but in a quicker form. We say, Shaitzianu Mitzrayim, he took us out of Egypt, Vasa Bam Shvatim, and he did plagues for them, Vasa Beleheim, Varag Bechayreim, V'nasan Lanu Es Memainam, he gave us their money, V'kar Lanu Es Hayam, he split the sea for us, V'avirana B'secha B'charava, and he passed us through in dry land, and he provided for all of our needs in the desert for 40 long years. He fed us the man, he gave us Shabbos. He brought us before our sin, V'chnisanu l'Eretz Yisrael, and then he brought us into Eretz Yisrael. And what's the crescendo? What's the highlight, the end, the final stanza of this long series of wonderful occurrences that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael? Uvana lanu es beis habechira, and he built for us a beis habechira, beis hamikdash, lechaper al kol avinaseinu, in order to atone for all of our sins. That's the highlight. Now, whenever you look at, you know, whenever you read a book, some people don't have the zitzfleisch, they don't have the patience to read a whole book. So what do? They start reading the book and say, I don't have patience, I can't read the whole, I need to know the end. So they cut to the last page, they read the ending of the book, they find out who the murderer was, they find out how the story ends. You want to get, you know, the tamtzis out of something, you always want to see the last, what's the end of it? How does the story end? The story ends with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, beyond all the nisim, with the Eser Makis and the Kriyas Yamsuf and the Matan Torah and all the great events. Uvana lanu es beis habechira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built for us a beis habechira, a beis hamikdash, lechaper al kol avinaseinu, in order to atone for all of our aveiros, for all of our sins. That's the end. That's the punchline. That's the takeaway of all the great nisim. If somebody were to ask you, okay, so we're reading Sefer Shemais, or the Galus of the Geula, and then we go into Vayikra, and then we go into Bamidbar and Devarim, and all the events and the Balaks and the Kairachs and the what's the takeaway? What's in one line? What am I supposed to take away from all the events that happened? One thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu builds for us a Beis HaMikdash. We go into Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, the Makom HaMikdash. We get built for us a Beis HaBechira, and we have what? Kaparas Avinus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu erases all of our Averis. That's the punchline. That's the bottom line. After everything that we're reading, the Parai and the Makas Dam and the Tzvardei and the Kinim, all these parshias, and then we're going to go into other parshias and the Mon and the Slav and the Kairach and the Balaks and the Bilams and the, it's all in order to get us into Eretz Yisrael, to build for us a Beis HaMikdash, and for what? Why do we need a Beis HaMikdash? To have a nice, beautiful, to get into Architectural Digest for having a really beautiful, cool palace? No. It's in order that we should bring Karbanis, have the Shechina with us, and have a kapara l'chala v'neseinu, have a kapara for our aveiros. That's the point of it all. This is what the Alter Rebbe Slabotki used to say on this pizman in the Haggadah, that the point of it all, everything, all of the ave, all of the meisim that we have in this alachas kama v'kama taiva, it's all l'chaper lana l'chala v'neseinu. When my father, Alav Shalom, and would lead his regal Pesach Seder every year. This was the, and he didn't make this up himself, he got it from his father. The way he would have a special niggin for this halachas kama v'kama, maybe this is not just in my family, maybe you have it also, but it's sort of like it's a song that you sort of say each and every one of these, and we go through it. And then all of a sudden at the end, that last stanza, all of a sudden becomes like much more pronounced, much more dramatic, and a special nusach. Like that's it. That's that. If you would be able to take out a highlighter for on Pesach, that's what you'd want to highlight of the Haggadah. That's it. To get a Beis HaBechira, l'chaper al kavanah, that's what this Alter Rebbe Slabotka says. That the point of it all is to get a kapara for sins. If we would understand how priceless it is to be able to mechaper for our averus, we would not be able to fathom the gift of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippurim, of an everyday Slach Lanu, because that's the greatest thing. If you would ask one thing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's that I want to be able to end it all with whatever I do in my life, all the great highlights of my life, and I'm going to you know, I had a bar mitzvah, and then I went to high school, and then I went to Eretz Yisrael, and I learned, and I got married, and I had a wife, and I had a family, and I had a job, and I made money, and I gave tzedakah, and I made chasis for my children, I had grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all the wonderful experiences, the good, the bad, and everything in between. The ultimate purpose of it all is that you should get through this journey, which we call life, and be able to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu sin-free. That's the whole point of it all. Just like nationally, the point of Klal Yisrael's journeys in the Midbar and this and that is all to build a base of Mechira and to be Mechapra on our Averis. That's our personal journey as well. That's the takeaway for our life. When we lay in Parshas Shira tomorrow, this is the takeaway. Mikdash Hashem Kainu Yedach. I want to be myself a Mikdash Hashem, and I want to have a kapara in my life every day, and I want to be able to live my life so that when I go up before the Kisei HaKavod, I'm able to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have been Mekayim, your Shlichas, and I am sin-free. That doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect through our life. We're not perfect. We're human beings. We're flesh and blood, and we all have Nisyanis, we have Taibis, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such Rachmanis on us, He gives us the ability to do tshuva, which is a crazy thing. And we've spoken about that a million times, but the gift of tshuva, that we're able to actually go back in time and erase our averus. But we have to always, this is the goal of our life, to be able to go before the Kisei HaKavod without any averus upon us. L'chaper lanu al kol aveinu. This isn't only the Altif and Slabatka's Vart. I saw the same exact Vart in the Haggadah of Reb Shimon Schwab. Shimon Schwab was the Merid Asra of Kaladas Yeshur and the Breuers community, the Yekisha community in Washington Heights. He was a tremendous Adam Gadol. His Torah is very popular. He wrote the Mayan Beis HaShoeva, which became like a major classic. It's one of Art Scroll's best-selling Hebrew Svarim and English Svarim. And he has beautiful Torah. And Klal Yisrael obviously embraced this sefer tremendously. So there's no, I don't think there's very few Batei Medrash or Bar Mitzvah boys that don't have this sefer. And he writes in about Baggad, this is what he writes, same thing. Uvan Alenem is basically clear. The point of it all is that I should go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu sin-free. If you go to Clifton, New Jersey, Clifton is very close to Passaic. They're like attached. They're literally like they just go one into another. Clifton, Passaic. It's like one Hatzalah, one. It's one basic community, pretty much. It's all one. So in Clifton, there is a Beis HaKvaris. There's a cemetery, and it's the cemetery of the Yekisha community, of the Breuers community. And I go there pretty often because my father is buried there. My grandparents, both sets of grandparents are buried there. All my uncles and aunts are buried there. All my relatives pretty much are there. I walk around there. I'm like, hi, uncle. You know, like, it's basically I know more people there than I do in Queens. It's like it's, you know, it's... But besides for my relatives being buried there... They have Reb Shimon Schwab and Reb Breuer and Reb Gelli, all the Gedalim of Washington Heights, all the great German Jewish Gedalim are buried there. You don't have to schlep to, you know, to Germany and to Western Europe, Eastern, whatever, if you want. You could just go to Clifton, New Jersey. It's right. It's not so close. It's not so far. And if you go to the kever of Rav Schwab, you'll see it right away because there's a pile of stones on top of it. Like if everyone has like 10 stones, he has 1,000 stones. And Rav Breuer also, obviously, and Rav Gelli. But I think Rav Schwab is a very holy place to daven for your needs. If you're into that, and if you have such needs, then... It says something very strange on his kever. And he obviously wrote the Matzeva himself. He wrote the Nusach of the Matzeva that it should be, that should be his epitaph after he dies. And he writes very simply, you know, I don't think there are any titles in front of his name, if I'm not mistaken. It just says that Pai Nikvar, here is buried Shimon ben, his father's name, Schwab, ben Reb Yehuda Schwab. And then on the bottom it says, V'shem Imai Chana, his mother's name is Chana, which is a nice addition. Very, very seldom do you have your mother's name on the kever. It's always the father's name, but he wanted his mother's name to be on his kever as well. And he was a Rav in Germany in a certain city, and then he was a Rav in Baltimore, and then he was a Rav in Washington Heights. And then there's like a little box, and inside of the, a frame, and inside the frame there's a pasuk from Mishlei. It doesn't have anything fancy on the matzah. It didn't say what he did. His godless entire on Yerushalayim. He was a spokesperson for Klal Yisrael and the Svarim that he wrote and the fact that he had a kesher with the Chavetz Chaim and the fact that he was a transition, a bridge to this generation America from the old world of pre-war Europe. And now it doesn't say anything about that. All it says is a pasuk in Mishlei. What's the pasuk in Mishlei? The pasuk says, "Mechase psha'av lo yatzliach." If you try to cover up your sins, you will never succeed. You won't succeed in hiding, in burying your sins. It's not going to work. Don't try to hide from your sins. Don't try to run away from your sins. If you do something wrong, umayda ve'ayzev yerucham. If you admit to your sins and then you abandon them, Yerucham, you will find mercy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you mercy, but you just have to own up to what you've done. You have to face the music. You have to fess up to what you've done wrong, and then you'll be okay. Umaydev eiz Yerucham. Mechaseb shav lo yatzliach. If you try to cover up your sins, you're not going to succeed. Face up to it. I did an avera, and here I'm admitting, I don't have to admit my averas to you. I can admit them to the Rabbi Shalom. If I did something to you, I have to admit it to you. If I wronged you, or if I stole from you, or if I did something behind your back, I spoke badly about you, I caused you a loss, I caused you busha, of course I have to go over to you and make amends. But if, let's say, I do something privately between me and myself, I don't have to announce that to the world. That's not anyone's business. But I do have to go to the Rabbi Shalom and say, Tata in Himmel, I did this wrong. I'm sorry. I don't know how I did it. But I did it, and please forgive me. And slach lano avinu ki chatan mechalan give me mechila slicha kapara. I have to be mechal. I can't run away from my averas. Now it's very strange that Rav Schwab would choose this pasuk for his kever. Why would he put this on his matseva? It's a mystery. Nobody knows the answer. But his son writes, and I'll quote: he has a son that's the head of the Beis Yaakov of Denver. His name is Rav Meir Schwab. And he writes as follows. I'm going to read to you just a paragraph. One can only speculate why he wished for this pasuk. But his instruction to his children upon misbehaving was always, don't cover up for your sins. Don't prolong the agony. Face the music. Do tshuva and go on being a good person. This was like the story of his life. Whenever his children misbehaved, he would always go over to them and say, just confess. Stop this nonsense. Don't sometimes, you have a child and they're misbehaving and they did something wrong and they try to not talk about it. They try to not deal with it. And they try to, deny it and ignore it and bury it and pretend it didn't happen. No, face up to it. You did something wrong. That's okay. You're a human being. You're not God. But face up to what you did. And when you admit it, that's the best way to go. Rav Schwab himself, when he was a young child, there's a story, I've said it before, people don't like it so much. I don't blame them. It doesn't really fit well with the chinuch of 21st century, perhaps. But his father and his mother were from Frankfurt. That's where Rav Schwab was born and raised. And it was a Yekesha home, which means that there was a lot of love, a lot of warmth, but there was also a stern chinuch system. It doesn't, Yekes are not always the warmest and fuzziest people. They can be that, but they could also be very strict. And one Erev Shabbos, Rav Schwab's mother gave him a certain amount of money, let's say $5 just to make it easy, and she said, I want you to go to the store and I need you to get for the, at the grocery store, I don't know, a dozen eggs and a bunch of carrots and some apples. And Rav Schwab went, as a young boy, he went to the store, and he had some extra change, so he saw there was like a chocolate bar there in the store, and he bought the chocolate bar, and he came home, and I think he had some chocolate still about around his mouth, but he didn't ask permission to buy the chocolate bar, and he brought home all the stuff. He said, here, Mama, here's everything you asked for. She says, is there any change? He says, no, there was no change. That's it. It was all... And she makes a cheshbon, and she sees, I guess, the chocolate maybe around his mouth, or maybe the wrapper was still sticking out of his pocket or something. And she says, there's no change, no change. There's no change. So she didn't say anything. But when his father came home before Shabbos, the mother apparently told the father what young Shimon had done. And that night, they came home from shul, and it was time to bench the kids. Now, it just should be pointed out that Rav Schwab was not an anomaly. Rav Schwab was not like... Rav Schwab's brothers were tzaddiki sadeilam. Yesterday, I happened to have been in Muncie, and I visited the kever of the Ribnitzer, and across the fence from the Ribnitzer is Rav Mordechai Schwab, one of Rav Schwab's brothers, a very tremendous tzaddik from Muncie. And then he has another brother that was mashgiach in yeshiva in England. There was greatness in this house. This house had greatness in it. But Rav Schwab, the boys stood on line to get benched on Friday night from their father. That was the minig, and that's the minig by my family as well, maybe by yours too. And so Rav Schwab stands in front of his father to get benched. And his father says, there's no bracha for you this Shabbos. So I don't give a bracha to a ganav. A ganav doesn't get a bracha. And Rav Schwab was so seared by that line. Again, don't try this at home. I don't know if it's the greatest. I don't think our kids would necessarily react well to this. And I don't know if Rav Schwab reacted well. But I will tell you one thing, that Rav Schwab became the epitome of the Isha MS, and there's books that could be written and that are written about how perfect he was with his honesty, his integrity, how he would do so many things, and I don't have time to speak about it this morning, but anecdote upon anecdote, story upon story about the meticulousness of that Rav Schwab had for money and business, and how he would instill in his balabatim and anyone that he would speak to and at Aguda conventions and any forums, how important it is to be an ethical, honest, God-fearing Jew and always go out of your way to make a Kiddush Hashem in the workforce and in the street and everywhere that you can. And no doubt that took root that Friday night. And from that time, Rav Schwab would always say, just fess up, don't deny it. Your mother asks you, where, you know, was there any change? Say, Mama, there was change, and I shouldn't have, but I bought a chocolate bar with it. Admit to what you did wrong, and that's okay. You can admit it. No one's perfect. The problem is when we try to cover up for our sins, that's when things get very twisted and complicated. A lot of times, lahavdil, politicians get into trouble because there's some scandal. And then when they get caught, instead of like admitting it right away, what do? They get deeper. They dig a deeper hole for themselves. They deny it. And then, of course, there's always going to be a reporter that's going to figure out a way to prove that he was wrong. And then he gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's what they say. It's not the crime. It's the cover-up. It's trying to cover up for the crime that gets you in trouble. American people are forgiving people. You admit you did something wrong. Okay, machaloch. But when you try to lie about it, that's the worst thing. Towards the end of Rav Schwab's life, he called over a very wealthy benefactor that is a Yekesha Yid. I happen to know him personally. Happens to be a relative of mine. And I spoke to him about this story personally. But Rav Schwab calls him into his apartment in Washington Heights. And he was already very old, very sick, very frail. And he says, listen, he says, the yeshiva, the Breuer's yeshiva, Yeshiva Sham Shrifal Hirsch, has a $1 million deficit. We owe $1 million. It's a lot of money. I think it was $800,000, close to $1 million. We haven't paid our rabbeim in several months. We haven't paid our teachers, our vendors. He says, I'm about to go up to the Olam HaEmes. I'm about to die. I'm about to go up to the Olam HaEmes. How am I going to face God in heaven? Me, the Ish Emes. Everyone says, oh, Rabbi Schwab, Ish Emes, and propriety, and trustworthiness, and being honest and impeccably, you know, meticulous with your dealings. Baloney. I'm going up to Shamayim. I haven't paid my rabbeim and my teachers in months because we're lacking a huge hole in our budget. And I can't face the Kiseh HaKavod like this. I don't have the money. You have the money. This person is a very, very wealthy businessman, extremely, extremely wealthy. He says, I don't have the money. You have the money. Do me a favor. Gift the yeshiva the amount that we need so I could die, I could go up to the Olam HaEmes, and I could be sin-free. And my relative told me that he started schwitzing. The way the story goes in the pub is that he gave him the check. Fine, you know, because it's not how it went. He went down to his car because even if you have a lot of money, you still, it's not easy to write out a check for $1 million. Just not. I mean, you could be a billionaire. It's still not easy. It's a lot of money to give over. And he was sitting in his car and he was like thinking about it and he was schwitzing and he wasn't so sure. And Rav Schwab had told him, listen, go think about it. And then go home. I'm going to call you. And you'll give me your answer, and hopefully it will be the answer that I expect. And he said he was schwitzing. He didn't know what to do, and he didn't back and forth. He comes up to his apartment. Just as he comes into his apartment, he didn't live in Washington Heights. He lives elsewhere, but he comes into his apartment, and the phone rings. It's Rav Schwab. He says, "Did you make a decision?" He says, yes. What was the decision? He says, I will do it, but I need time to get the money together. He says, from now until the yeshiva dinner is 3 months, let's say. I don't know exactly the amount of time. He says, I will pay you every week another installment, whatever that amount is, a huge amount of money. And he says, and by the yeshiva dinner, I will be whole. I will completely fulfill my pledge. And he did that. Every week went by, gave another $50,000, whatever it was, until finally the week of the yeshiva dinner came, and he paid everything in full. The day after he paid everything in full, Rav Schwab was nifter. And by the way, the story goes that when Rav Schwab was nifter, he was on his deathbed, and this happened. You see stories like this with other Gedolim, but he was, as he was dying, he was like, his hands started lifting. He was in very, very sick. He was like not able to move. His hands lifted. He says, ah, Tate, Mama, Vishen, it's so beautiful to see you again. In other words, his parents were coming to embrace him and to escort him up to the Kiseh HaKavod, to escort him up to Shamayim. That's the svart. Uvano lano es beis habechira lechaper lano al kol avinaseinu. The purpose of our lives, after all is said and done, after we go through so many months, days, years of, and we're, this life is it's an interesting life. What should I tell you? We see what's going on in the world and how things turn, and we have good periods, we have bad periods. In history and in just in our own lifespan, we have 9/11s and we have October 7s, and then we have wonderful times and we have simchas that we make. And then we study and we get a profession and we get a job and we and there's so much to life. Life is so beautiful and life is so interesting and life involves a lot of struggle and a lot of challenge, like we spoke about at the Tish on Tuesday on Tu B'Shvat night. Life is very, very profound. And there's so much. There's so much to life. There's so many bills to be paid. There's so much stress, but there's so much joy. And there's so many misunderstandings, but then there's so much understanding. And there's so much Torah to be learned and to be enjoyed and to be savored and to be appreciated. And Zmiris and Shabbos and Yom Tovim and Simchas and good times. And there's Tisha B'Av and there's 3 weeks. And that's how life is and that's how our personal lives are. But at the end of the day, we always want to know what's the beginning and what's the end of the story. The beginning of the story is that we're here. And Baruch Hashem, we're in a great place. We're positioned to glide straight to Olam Haba. We have to make sure that we get there and that when we get there, we're going to be able to stand before the Kisei HaKavod sin-free, without it, face the music. Mechaseh Pshav Lo Yatzliach Umaydev Eizev Yerucham. This is, I believe, a tremendously important takeaway of the Shiras Hayam. We want to live with the Parsha. We want to take away everything from the Shiras Hayam. We might not have time to do that. I'm just giving you one of maybe a million different takeaways from the Yaz Yashir, but it just coincidentally happens to be the most important takeaway of our life. While the Jews were experiencing Kriyas Yamsuf, they were obsessed with the Mikdash. Zekele v'anveyu, I want to build you a base of Mikdash. Mikdash Hashem, kain yada. What's this constant refrain, this chant of Mikdash, Mikdash, Neve Shanan? What's going on? Why? What do you need a base of Mikdash for? You're doing great. You just saw Dashras Hashchina. You saw Vayimina Bashem and Mesha Avdai. You saw Kriyas Yamza. You saw your enemies destroyed. You're in a great... What are you singing about the base of Mikdash? Because the base of Mikdash is a place that we need. What do you need it for? L'chaper lanu al kol avinaseinu. It's the place that we're able to get atonement. And life without atonement, life without a way, a delete button for our averus, is a scary place. It's a beautiful place if I have the ability to self-regulate my averus. Meaning, I do an avera, that's human. We have to avoid averus, and we try, but we're human. And we might see things that we don't want to see, but we're tempted and we do. What do you do then? You daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You do an immediate tshuva. You say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen again. We try to make amends. We try to fix the problems. We wronged somebody else. We said something to somebody else and we felt bad about it. We made him feel embarrassed. What do you do about that? Well, you got to give him a call, as difficult as it is, and say, I'm sorry for doing that. I shouldn't have done it. I embarrassed you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Be meichel me. Hopefully he'll forgive you. If he doesn't forgive you, give it a break. Give it a little more time. Then call him again in a couple of weeks. If he doesn't forgive you, try it again, but in a nice, normal... And if he doesn't, then you're potter after 3 times. But you have to try sincerely to get mechila from people that you owe mechila. Maybe now we're remembering people that we wronged years ago when we were in high school, when we were in elementary school. Maybe we stole some money from someone inadvertently or whatever. We were working for a, you know, and we did something and no problem. Send them a check for what you owe. Make amends in this world, but you have to be able to make sure that as best you can, you want to live life, and at the end of our life, there's a Mikdash Hashem Kain Yadacha. There's a place that we understand, that we know, that we have a kapara for our avers. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash today. We have karbonis, we have a siddur, we have tshuva, we have a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we have an every day of our life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you don't have to wait for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The whole year is okay for doing tshuva. But this is a very essential point of life, to be able to make sure that we're living a good, clean, honest, healthy, productive life, and that when we do something wrong, we face the music. We don't deny, we don't try to avoid, we don't try to pretend that it's fine and then turn the tables on the person and make them No, I did something wrong, I apologize. My bad, I'm sorry, what can I do to make it up to you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did something wrong, please, I'm begging you, be meichel me. That is the chorus, that is the refrain of a Jew's life. A special Jew's life, a holy Jew, a Rav Shlavdik, a Jew.
And this is what I think is a great takeaway, one lesson from the Shira that we could live with, that tomorrow as we're saying it in davening and then we lay it again and we have the Ruach, the Shabbos of the Shabbos Shira, we have to think about this. We have to understand the beauty of being a Yid is the ability to always try to be honest with everything that we do, be ethical, be moral, be fine, upstanding people. And Amir Hashem, when we do that, then our entire lives will be lives that were well spent, that were well lived, and we could ultimately go before the Kisei HaKavod and say, I have done your shlichas, and I am standing here without any traces of Avera. Have a wonderful Shabbos, Rabbi Yisrael.